News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Good evening. I'm Steve Evans. The Utah legislative session just passed earlier in March, and there were 542 bills passed and over 900 presented. Senator Ron Winterton is serving his eighth year as representative in the Utah State Senate for this year. Senator Winterton has agreed to come on the air with us to discuss the highlights of this legislative session and to give us kind of a recap. Senator Winterton, thank you for taking the time to come on the air with us.
Well, thanks for the invite.
A couple of things I wanted to ask you about. First of all, are 900 bills too many?
Yes, it is.
Would it be possible to maybe come up with some legislation to restrict the number of bills presented?
Well, we did have a bill this year to do just that. It didn't get a committee assignment, but we are trying to limit that as to how many bills each legislator could propose. I mean, you can propose it, but that's a lot of staff time, drafting attorneys and that to prepare those bill files. A lot of times you have duplications, and so if you could combine them together, you could see it. 500 bills is way too many.
From a constituent's perspective, 500, how about 900? You have to research.
Well, but we had over 1,500 bill files opened, and you're saying 900. Well, that's the actual ones that were presented in committees and that. That's not saying the ones we never did see in committees. And in 7 weeks, that's hard on anybody.
Another concern that I, as a constituent, have would be the reintroduction of bills continuously over and over. If it doesn't pass this year, let's present it again next year and next year and next year. And finally, on the fourth year, it passes, even though it's horrible legislation.
And, you know, being a chairman of a standing committee, it's my job to make sure that we filter those, screen them hard enough. And in the Senate, every senator, there's seven on my committee. And so every senator has at least two standing committees. And if you're too busy passing legislation, you're presenting at some other committee, and you're not in there doing your job screening the legislation. And so we had 80 pieces of legislation in my committee in 7 weeks. And I held 18 of them that was not ready. And we heard them all, but we either tabled them, held them, or just moved the agenda because they're not ready. And trying to be kind as a chairman, if somebody's got legislation there, they know that they need, we'll do the kindest thing and give them time to work on that legislation. I had a bill this year on punitive damages. We introduced it the first week. It took us 7 weeks. 5 weeks, we had all the parties in there come and go.
Punitive damages to whom?
Well, this was brought to me because the insurance rates are going up higher. Why is that? And they kept saying punitive damages are astronomical. You got to do something about it. So I learned a lot from this piece of legislation going into it. I'm not an attorney. I don't know what I'm talking about. And I told the committee that. And yet the attorneys, the trial attorneys, and all of those that play in this space said I was an idiot to be doing that. And I said, well, would you guys do it? Well, they either have a conflict or they're self-serving. And so we found a spot that was just right, that neither side was 100% happy with. They all had to give something. And 2 days before the end of the session, we finished that bill up. But the last Monday of the session, I had a group come to me and said, well, we'd like to tweak that a little bit. And I'm going, where were you for the last 7 weeks?
Did it pass?
It did pass. And we did make an adjustment for their suggestions, but that did pass. We'll see going forward whether or not. But
so my insurance is going up, and all of our,
it
all
is.
Of your, every one of your constituents' insurance has gone up in the last 2 years.
Why is that?
Punitive damages. Now, is that right?
Well, that's awarded after the trial, if you go to trial.
And
I found
insurance company still has to pay it. So they pass those
obligations. Yes and no.
And
so this bill actually said they cannot raise your rates based upon the punitive damages that might have been awarded. And so
I see. Okay.
We did fix the insurance side that they cannot, because you're a higher risk, we can raise it because, you know, we're taking the risk. And so there'll be more follow-up on that.
So the purpose behind this legislation that you've been working on, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to help reduce the liability that will be passed on to consumers. Is that correct?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you and I can't afford it. I mean, my family's in the trucking business, and their insurance last year, they were, after 40 years, was canceled. Couldn't find an underwriter. When they did find one, it was a big company, and it was twice what they were paying. That's the bottom line. There's no profit when you have to double something that you have no control over.
Wanted to ask you about the gas tax legislation. What the heck? What was that about? They were going to reduce the gas tax at the pump and then pass that on to the refineries.
Yeah, they were.
That was the original concept.
That was the original one. They were going to get a production tax leaving the refinery. And we have a lot. We supply most of Idaho, parts of Nevada, a little bit in Wyoming. And they wanted to tax that.
So it would be taxing the citizens in Idaho and Wyoming.
Exactly.
Which is why the legislature and the governor in Wyoming said, no.
Yeah.
we're not paying your
road taxes.
Yeah.
And so that bill had some problems. It finally ended up where they ended up working it out with the refineries, making a deal with them that we would help streamline permitting so that they can boost their production. So they committed to boost the production in the next 5 years by 15%. That also will bring the price of gas down when you have that kind of surplus.
Can we get that much more crude oil into the refineries to increase it by 15%?
That's really a good question, because we've got some proposals. There's a refinery that's been proposed out here for years that's never gone anywhere. And again, we bump against air quality permits on that. So can the refineries in Salt Lake Valley enlarge enough to meet this demand? Time will tell, but that's what the intent of that was. Also, it came out that they're going to reduce gasoline taxes by 6 cents the 1st of July to the end of December, and then and then it'll be 4 cents next year. But
then it ends at the end of 2027.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
It does not. The problem had, the bill had problems from the get-go, because my concern was is that if they start playing with our severance tax, then that starts affecting production here in the basin.
Yes.
That means layoffs, rigs down.
That means just producers pulling out of the area.
It does. And if it's an unstable environment, they're not going to invest their dollars here. They're going to go somewhere else. And so we did protect them, and I held strong on that. So I felt like the bill ended in a neutral position. We will see some relief, even though right now you can't see it, because what's it jumped over a dollar now? 80 cents in the last week.
Conflict in the Middle East. Okay, well, I guess it was presented by Speaker Mike Schultz, and he must have some political motivations for the future. I mean, what is he wanting to be governor or something? Because it sounds like a good campaign message. I'm the guy that reduced your gas tax by 6 cents per gallon. Remember me?
Yeah.
Vote for me. I'll do more for you.
Yeah. Whatever his future lies.
But the devil's
lies,
in the details, right?
It is, and I worked hard. They never let me see what they were working on. They just always talked in concepts. So it was really hard to fight against hearsay.
The state legislature, while you've been there 8 years, for the past 6 years, you've cut income tax annually, consistently over the last 6 years. And this year, I think it was, $160 million that it was reduced?
Yeah, that's what it amounts to out of out of the income tax revenue to the state. Is about $160 million.
Are we just growing and that much more revenue is coming in? How are we able to reduce
our economy
and still maintain the services that we do?
Our economy is in the top two of the nation. I was just looking at some paperwork this morning and said our average income here in the state of Utah is at $92,000. Most states are between $58,000 and $62,000. You know, when you're taxing income, proportionately, that seems like a lot of money. Do we need it? We would like to reduce it to zero, but we've also got to find a mechanism to fund our education, because that is where our funding for education comes from, is the income tax silo.
Okay. So I would see it's a fair statement to make that you are an advocate for smaller government. Is that right?
I am. I fight hard to not grow government.
The ozone research, I understand the Bingham Research Center, the USU Bingham Research effort here, which they do remarkable work, and it's really beneficial to, because there's been a lot of misinformation. They go to the lowest sink in the valley, and they get the environmentalists get that reading and say, oh, we're out of attainment in the whole area, which affects our industry. But the Bingham Research Center has done research on that. This gets all of the Uinta Basin in all the centers. Anyway, that was under threat of losing it, which would have been detrimental to us, correct?
Yes, the funding that we had secured, ongoing commitment to keep that alive, was threatened because of this gasoline bill and another bill that they were going to take revenue out of the same silo, but they were going to take their share off the top and not the bottom. Now, if you've made commitments, you need to honor those commitments, and then anything that is surplus after that, go ahead. And that's what it came down to. The second to last day of this session is that I heard that that was on the chopping blocks of us losing that funding. Well,
bottom line, you saved it.
We did save it, yes.
You and who?
Well, I had to help with Senator Hinkins from south of us there that also has the coal mines and that, and then also Senator Owens from central Utah,
okay.
And then Senator Milner was in
so
there too.
So that's where relationships and collaboration, especially in rural Utah, really matter.
Yeah, you have to go behind the scenes to try to fix it. And you know, I don't like blindsiding anybody. If I go into a committee and somebody has a problem with it, I don't want to hear about it there. I'd rather them tell me up front that I have a problem with your bill and here's my problem. Give me time to work on it. There is one bill that I'll mention out on the west side of the Senate district out in Summit County. They have a lot of growth going on, both Wasatch and Summit County. Big right. developers coming in, and they're always reading that the state's trying to take land use away from the locals. I fight hard to keep that on a local basis. And there was a bill that I was the Senate sponsor on, which there was problems in Utah and Weber counties. And so it was talking about annexing islands. And they read that that was going to happen, that we're just bound to the developers. And being the Senate sponsor, when it got to the Senate committee, I told the House sponsor that we've got to take any threat of my counties being harmed by this legislation. So we took out the mandatory planning. If you're close to a metropolitan county, you would have to abide by this. We took that out. We also stated that it only affected second-class counties. Okay, Summit is a third-class county. So is Wasatch. It does not affect them at all. But because I was able to go behind the scenes and
make those modifications,
we got that, and the bill ended up good, and I protected Senate 20 very well. And some of the people kept reading the first draft of the bill and not the fifth draft, which right. takes all of the nonsense out of it, puts it very plain. And so that's how you do it behind the scenes, is trying to figure out how do you make bad legislation better. If not, if you can't do it, then let's not pass it. But we were able to accomplish the problems that they were encountering in those other two counties, and help them and protected my counties.
While we're on the subject of Wasatch County, there's a couple of bills I wanted to ask. Well, actually, this is not a bill. It's an effort. It's Heber Main Street in Wasatch County. That does affect the Uinta Basin because we have drivers, truck drivers, yes. that are running through that Main Street every day. I mean, I don't know how many hundreds of them go over there in a day, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And when they're down on Main Street, I know the local public there, the population in Heber, they don't like it, but the truck drivers don't like it either.
No.
So there's a bypass that's being proposed, and what information can you give us on that?
Well, this bypass has been fast tracked. It's been 8 years in the making.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It would have been a lot cheaper had it been done 8
yes.
years ago, right?
Well, 20 years ago even. Yeah. But they came out with the EIS at the end of about the middle of January. So it's been out for public review and comments. Just closed on the 9th of March. Now they'll go and look at every one of the comments, try to address it. Did they do this or that? They'll right. come back in September to make a final recommendation as to...
Are the environmentalists going to oppose it?
Well,
like they did our railroad. Are they going to sue? And is that going to go down that road?
I think
route?
That I don't know who the group is. There'll be a lawsuit over this. Heber Valley is very protective of their north fields. They want the open spaces in that.
They want to look at Mount Tippinogus, and they want it unrestricted and pristine. And I get that, but you can't have the growth.
You can't, and you can't. There's no place else that you can put that road right now. The East Bench, like you mentioned, that was the proposal 20 years ago. They never acted on it. It was too expensive. Now they have all these big homes over there. You can't go there. And so now you're looking a little west of town.
You probably have about $5 billion worth of homes on the East Bench.
Oh, yeah.
I would guess.
Yeah, and see, on this, the one proposal for the A alignment was $711 million. For the B proposal was $780 million. And that's pretty much just buying real estate and building the road. Right. So it's not going to get any cheaper. The problems are only going to get worse.
And the status quo isn't going to work.
And let's go back and talk about, the added production at the refineries. If they boost that 15%, does that mean more trucks on the road going to Salt
Absolutely.
Lake?
Absolutely.
And so...
Either that or we got to build another pipeline.
Yeah, and our waxy crude doesn't go through a pipeline very well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sets up when it gets down to under 100 degrees.
Yep.
It's a candle.
All right, that's
so,
a problem.
That's why you see it on trucks, and they're limited in how far they can drive it on those trucks,
right,
or it
right.
sets up. And
or you
so
have to heat it up.
We've had challenges here that we don't have other places in the world.
All right.
And so Heber, Main Street, like it or not, they've got to come to some kind of resolution as to how they're going to get traffic through their community.
Senator Ron Winterton, I wanted to ask you about the Uinta Railway infrastructure in the counties here. Now, you know, it's estimated we're going to have about 9,000 full-time jobs. Some of those will be transient jobs, will be short-term, but it's going to put, we already have an affordable housing crisis. I would say it's a crisis in Uinta County and Duchesne County.
It is.
Which is inhibiting our growth in these two counties. And it needs to be resolved. So we have infrastructure problems. We have water problems. We have, is the infrastructure, in your mind, as a past county commissioner, you look at this stuff, is the infrastructure in our county, are we prepared for that kind of growth?
I think that we've made good decisions in the past, and the resources are there. The infrastructure, we would have to build up more of that. But I think that we could handle it as far regarding the water. We have... you always have to look at the sanitation side of it, the sewer
right.
and that.
Right.
Do we have it adequate? If not, then what does it take? More land to do that?
Well, this is going to require grant money. I mean, there's just, and mineral lease money, and any money that we can get to invest in our infrastructure to address this increased growth that's going to be coming from industry, most of it. And is this something that you will work on in the future, is making sure that we get the state funding that we need to help build out this infrastructure project?
Oh, yeah. Just last year, we started a restricted account, starting to save for, put money away, because the federal government doesn't build water projects anymore. That's on the states.
Okay.
So we've started an account to put money away there to help build some of those. And then again, we've got...
That's good news. How much is in that fund? Do you have any idea?
Well, they swept all of these dormant accounts that were restricted, took that money and put it in there. I want to say that they probably came up with $40, $50 million to put in there this year.
Okay.
Now, the one...
That's a start.
We put $50 million in the water account last year, okay, knowing that we had needs in southern Utah that they won't be able to. And then...
So we've got about $100 million in there right now?
We do.
Okay.
And, you know, locally, they'll have to match what money the state gives them, probably, to be able to stretch those dollars.
Can that be a 7-county infrastructure coalition project? Could it be something that we could get mineral lease monies
yes.
in here to help?
All of the above.
Okay.
We're fortunate enough that because we're a mineral-producing region, we do pay into that, so we're entitled to get grants and loans out of there, low-interest loans. And so we've always had that ability, and those that preceded me had foresight to see where those were needed. And so now I think it's our job to continue to put in infrastructure for this growth that's coming, because you're right. With the railroad coming in, we're looking at a minimum of 2,000 jobs just to get construction there. And then we're talking about a couple of data centers coming out here. We're talking about manufacturing that's coming here.
There's proposals to bring data centers out here?
Yeah, there are. And why? Because our utility costs are very reasonable, cheap.
Okay.
And
what is the time frame on these proposed data centers?
There is one project that is about 2.5 years down in the planning phases right now.
Okay.
They're getting very serious about that. And I think for them, it's part of another project with the rail that they're trying to put this big package together. And the group that's working on that, I know they have $550 billion gathered up. So that's not coming to you or I as taxpayers to pay for that.
Will it come to support infrastructure and getting water that's needed to build those data centers? And some of that money be used towards building reservoirs?
It could be. And if you look, both UNN and Duchesne counties, the Ute Tribe, we have a lot of shares of water in the Colorado that we haven't been able to develop because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. So the resources are there. It's just going to take money to develop them. And so,
what about the pump station, proposed pump station from Jensen to pump water into the Jensen area for use, culinary and irrigation use in the Jensen's area, and then from the Red Fleet shares that they were drawing, there was a proposal by the Central Utah Water Conservancy District to do that.
And that we're supporting that from the state side. We'll do what we can to help them on that. And if you look at what's happening with the Colorado River Compact, that expires next year, and we haven't got agreement yet. And so we need to develop those resources. And so the state's trying to help them in that project to try to develop that.
Should have had that project done 20 years ago.
Yes. Yeah, but who thought that we'd ever grow to the point where we needed all that? Because
right.
we
right.
have had a surplus.
Right.
But now we're seeing that we've got to be planning for the next 40 to 50 years.
All right. Well, we've talked about income tax reduction. We've talked about gas bills. We've talked about ozone research. UNA Railway, Heber Main Street. Any final comments? There's been a lot of action at the state legislature this year. Any other final comments?
Well, you know, you ask me about legislation. You know, I worked on legislation 4 years ago that was the rural film incentive.
Oh,
that's what it
yeah.
ended up coming out,
uh-huh.
and that affected Summit County at the time. But come to find out, it's also affected Wasatch County, Uinta County, and a little of Duchesne County.
And Wasatch County, because that's where Yellowstone was being filmed, right?
Yeah, They have a film studio there in Summit.
They were moving it to
Montana.
To Montana.
For a $10 million incentive plan there, we didn't have anything to offer.
Okay.
We don't, I mean, totally in our state, we have $20 million. We have $10 million that go to the rural film incentives. That means that they have to spend money in the rural parts of our state to actually get this. So it's post-performance. You spend your money, turn in your receipts. If you've spent it and it qualifies, then we give you that tax credit back. So we have a lot of production in the state of Utah. Kevin Costner just built a studio down in St. George.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to help with his projects that he wanted to do. Some remakes of John Wayne's. He's got the rights to do that. He wanted to do it in
old
Utah.
Old John Wayne films?
Yeah.
Is that right?
And it'd be around Grant County, San Juan County,
yeah.
and Washington County.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for him, he built infrastructure down there to support his industry. But for those of us up here, Skinwalker Ranch, you
yeah.
know, they qualified for some. They have a filming crew here for 15 weeks every year. They stay in the motels. They eat. They have caterers. They buy all of their stuff locally so that they can qualify for that tax incentive back. And so that's what it's done here. Kane County, down there, they did car commercials last year in December. Nothing going on in Kane County. They dropped $1 million in 1 week in that town. Now, what does that do
in
to the
Kanab,
restaurant?
$1 million in
yes.
Kanab?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Between the motel, the lumberyard.
In the middle of the winter?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a state, how can we give $1 million to a community?
We can't. Yeah.
But we can incentivize. You spend your dollars here, we'll help you on the
and
back
that
end.
That was probably a real blessing for Kane County.
It has been.
We've got Daggett County that can benefit from it. I think in 1972 or 3, I think we had Robert Redford and Jeremiah Johnson
yes.
that was up there. That was a famous movie when I was a kid, probably
well,
when you were a kid
look
too.
At Daggett County right now. They're moving along with a ski resort project up there
right
that has seem to get momentum, and that will be very, very advantageous to the 800 residents in Daggett County.
It'd be nice if we could have one film project up there every year, wouldn't it?
It would be great if we could do that. That would triple their annual income up there.
They could use it. Okay, final comment, Senator Ron Winterton.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate the time that I've been able to spend with you, and again, I appreciate everybody that supported me and have given me inputs and emails and texts, letting me be aware of something that they're concerned about.
How do we get a hold of you as our senator if we have a question or concern?
You can go to the state legislature website. It's on there, or rwinterton@le.utah.gov. I'll give you my phone number. My phone is 435-299-8531.
Okay. All right. Senator Ron Winterton, thank you. The Utah legislative session has concluded, and we've been privileged to hear from our Utah Senator Ron Winterton, and he is serving his eighth year now. This was his eighth session that he just completed, and appreciate all the good work that you've done for our community and that you continue to do. Senator Winterton, thank you. I'm Steve Evans, and this is News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Thanks for joining us.